That was interesting, the music this morning. Several songs reference the King. He's exalted, Jesus, the King, majesty. Think about that. That the spiritual realm is a spiritual kingdom. It is not a spiritual democracy. It is not a spiritual republic. It is not the majority rules. It's a king. Our Lord taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. A kingdom. And a kingdom, you have a couple things happen. One, you have to have a king. And we have a king. Lord Jesus Christ is the king. Then you have to have what else to have a kingdom? Subjects. Yeah. Those who are Christ followers, we are subjects in the kingdom. And then every kingdom, you know, it hinges, rises or falls depending on the nature, the status of the king. In the Old Testament, he had good kings, and those were good days. He had bad kings and evil kings. Those were horrible days. We have a perfect king. But in the kingdoms, there's laws. There's ways and means, the way the kingdom is supposed to operate. And the king sets that up. So this is the way it is. Now, if you have a wise king and a good king and a loving king, then it's like, oh, this kingdom is just great. And we have ways, rules and ways, the kingdom of God, which are laid out in the scriptures for us. So keep in mind as we sing about those songs, and we think about him being the king, it's really important for us to keep in mind that it's a kingdom. And I don't have a say in this kingdom like God does. It's God. Okay. Well, we digress. Let's look here at tangible love. We're doing a little series on spiritual formation, and today we're thinking about the expressions of the heart. But a couple verses out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the church at Thessalonica was a church that was, of all the churches referenced in the New Testament, one of the more healthy churches. There's not much rebuke in 1 Thessalonians, a lot of positive affirmation. And evidently, they were a group of people that liked each other. And he said, now, to the love of the brethren, and notice the loves are in yellow. Now, the love of the brethren, you have no need for me to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it, yet refers to love. You practice love towards all the brethren who are in all of Macedonia, and we urge you, brethren, to excel still more in that love. In the sense that Paul is saying, you know, you're doing good in this loving each other, but I encourage you to excel still more. And as we think about spiritual formation, what God has for us, this is one of the really cornerstones of spiritual growth, is loving one another and excelling still more. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes think as you read books about spirituality and being a Christian, it gets very complex sometimes. Like, wow, this is hard to ferret out here, all that's being said. And yet, you can synthesize it down as the Lord Jesus did, as they asked him. What? That'd be great. That is a tangible act of love. Thank you.
Only if it works.
It'll work. Thank you. It's annoying to you and to me. Let's see where we were now. They came to the Lord Jesus and said, what's the great commandment? And of course, when they asked that in Matthew, they were really just trying to put him in a box because they had constant fights about the most important kingdom. But the Lord responded wisely, as he always did. He says, well, the first and foremost commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is like unto it, love your neighbors yourself. Do you realize how brilliant that is? If you would take your Bibles and like this, that's Genesis through Malachi. That's the law and the prophets. A lot of ink, a lot of things being said. Jesus said, here's the bottom line. The summation of the law and the prophets, love God and love your neighbor. That's incredibly simple. Not so simple in living it out, is it? But the concepts. And so here, Paul's coming back to that same theme. He says, dear brothers at Thessalonica, dear friends at Friends Church, I know you love each other, and that's great, but I encourage you to love still more. As we think about spiritual transformation and spiritual formation, a vital part is how we relate to one another. But This whole idea of relationship in the heart begins with the reality of God. So, the heart is inherently relational. We were designed by God, created by God, redeemed by God to relate to God and to one another. God never designed for us to live in isolation. I heard a song a while back. It was bad grammar and bad theology. The grammar was me and God, that's bad grammar, correct? And that's all we need is me and God. Well, that's not the way God designed it. God designed us to be a part of a spiritual body. And we are critically important to one another. We need each other. There may be some folks we don't like as much as others, but we need them. I'm not sure about you, but I've always had people who are kind of a source of aggravation around about me. But they're good for me. Don't always like it, but they're good for me by divine design. And so I want to go back and think about this. The heart is inherently relational and all begins with who God is. And here is the triune God is eternally relational. True biblical defined spirituality has the Trinity, the triune God, as the ultimate model. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they have lived in an eternal relationship with one another. And it is the model for perfect relationship. Just think about how the Father, Son, Holy Spirit works. Or perhaps how they don't work. We know Jesus does a miracle. And the Spirit says, well, I can do one better than that. Unimaginable. Never happens. There is no competition in the Trinity. No one-upmanship. You think in our world we live in our relationships, we are incredibly competitive. And the language we use, you know, taking the sports realm, for example, who is the best quarterback that ever played? What difference does it make? Who's the best pitcher in baseball? Who's the best basketball player? Who's the best artist? Who's the best musician? What's the point of it all? In that competition. And then you come down to our families. Husbands and wives, if you believe this or not, often compete for time, for recognition, whatever. That does not reflect the triune God. There is no competition. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are mutually submissive to each other and mutually bless one another. They commune, they enjoy each other. It's a wonderful, perfect, harmonious relationship. And wow, that's our model. Jesus prayed. The longest prayer of Jesus recorded in the scriptures is John 17. How does it end? Some of those final things he prays for. That we may be one. Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. I and me, you and me, that they may be involved in that same kind of a relationship. We have been invited and prayed to enter into that kind of relationship with Holy God. The triune God is eternally relational, and part of our being in the image of God is have that inherent desire to relate. It's interesting. You know, sometimes in the past, people have tried to live independently. Back when they were doing the homesteading back in the Plain States, everyone got a quarter section of land. And that was kind of an independent spirited people who went out there in their covered wagons to establish homesteads. And what they did is they went out, they'd take their quarter section, and they would put their house right square in the middle. So all around them was their property. That's how they started out. But it wasn't long before something happened. They moved to the corners. One had moved to the southeast corner, and they'd moved down so they could be close together. Because they discovered they really kind of needed each other. It's a part of the relational dynamics that God has built into us. God is love, and love is relational. That's the way it is. We don't love by robotic action or something. Love is relational. Love flows out of us in some tangible way to those around about us. Now, here's a key point for us here is that being in Christ means this. It's being in an eternal relationship with God and other believers. Being in Christ, we believe in Jesus Christ, we're baptized, we're tied into the body of Christ by the Spirit, we become part of that spiritual body, we're related to the triune God. We are in Christ. And if you read the New Testament carefully, over and over again, it's in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. This is what it's all about. Now, did you observe something in this last slide, what happened? Besides the fact, go back here, okay? Watch what happens here. There's the print, being in Christ. What else did you see? The little triangle. Within God, the green triangle, that's us. We have been placed into the body of Christ. We've been made a part to be a part of that relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're in Christos. We're in Christ Jesus. Is that making sense? Talk about honored position. This is like, wow. And so as we're thinking here about the body of Christ and about spiritual formation, spiritual transformation, we're realizing that God has created us and redeemed us, designed us to be relational, and we are in an eternal relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and with one another. Well, let's look at the heart. Let's do a little review here. We've been thinking about the spiritual heart, the functions of the heart as described in the Scriptures. We have noted that the heart has a thinking function. As a person thinks in their heart, so they are. And so it talks about, you know, processing things in our mental capacities, that's a heart function. So we think, we make decisions, another function of the heart. And last week we touched briefly that the heart is also an emotional center or emotes. Now these are things that are inside of us. It's an internal relationship with our eternal God, but it has expressions outwardly. And we think about spiritual formation involves how we relate to the social relationships, other people around about us. And so it's out of the heart that flows these relationships. There is a expression, if you will, of the heart on towards its tangible love. And so there's things that we feel in our heart, there's a love in our heart, and that expresses itself in towards other people. It's not just kept stored inside. The heart expresses itself in social relationships. And it's something we can look and see, well, what am I doing in my relationships as an indicator of where we are with the Lord? Because out of a good heart, there flows good relationships. There flows concern. When I first became a Christ follower, I was 18 years of age. And like most people, a time went along, we're like, wow, is it real? Have I really believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord? Is that really valid? I mean, I think I have, but I'm not really sure. And there's the questions of, you know, is it true? One day I was reading in 1 John, and it says, if you say you love God and you don't love one another, you are a liar. But love of God will be expressed in love for people. And then suddenly I realized, wait a minute. I love people in a way I'd never loved before. It's not my fault. This is the work of God. That was an affirmation. And so as we see things come out of our lives and we look at the ways that we relate to the people, is an evidence of what's in the heart. It can be a great source of encouragement. But it works the other way. Our social relationships also, we receive from that. The heart is impressed by social relationships. The people around about us have a huge impact on our heart, on our thinking, our decision-making, our emotions are really, really important. And when we think about spiritual formation, spiritual transformation, this is like, okay, I'm going to have to look at what's coming out of it, because out of the heart flows our words, our thoughts, our deeds, our actions, our attitudes, our motives. I can look in the mirror a little bit that way by seeing how I look at people and relate to people. but also I'm receiving from them. They're impacting my life. You know, this morning, in this very room, there are things happening. It may appear at this moment is this like one way from a speaker to a group of people, but that's not really the way it really is. We're having a mutual ministry to one another. When the time began to congregate together, there were things being communicated. So we walked in the door this morning, and we were greeted. So, there's over 60 references in the New Testament to greeting one another. And a greeting is like, when you're greeted, it's like, oh, you're a person, and I recognize you. We've probably all had experience. We went someplace. I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. We have a store that I'm not happy with because I have a friendly and unfriendly store. And I went to the unfriendly store last week trying to save time. And I wasted time grumping about it afterwards. But the teller or the clerk, whatever, never greeted. He's, Well, you know, he doesn't have to greet me to do the transaction, okay? I got my product, he got his money, and I left. But it's not funny. No, it is. But you see, that was like, it's like I was a non-entity. Then you walk into a place where they greet you. And, wow. And if they greet you by name, you're a person, it's a recognition, and it has an impact. We walk in the church, and we're greeted. We went to a church one time in Dallas, Texas. About 3,000 people there. Huge. Great music. Great message. Not one single person said boo. That was kind of, wow, that kind of hurts, you know? And I guess you're just a number or something. I'm not sure. But the greeting, that's what I'm trying to say, is that it's just to illustrate the point is that we have a huge impact on each other. And a simple greeting, it expresses something of God, but also to receive a greeting expresses something of God back to us. You're a person, you're a name, you're important, you're worthy of being recognized. That's the idea. So the heart is expressed through social relationships, and it's impressed through those social relationships. In a sense, it's the same idea between, in your notes you have this, between being and doing. What's in the heart is our being, okay? We're being in the heart, but the being is expressed in the doing. But as we are doing, there's a symbiotic relationship, which means that the being feeds the doing, and the doing feeds the being. Making sense? There's a mutuality that takes place. So when the heart that's following after Jesus is following after him and following the ways of his kingdom, which he has given to us, and it says, to greet one another, as we greet someone, we're expressing something of God. As we receive a greeting, and they are serving to the doing, the being there are feeding each other and amplifying each other. And it's very, very significant. What's your questions right now? Oh, that's a great question. How do you shake off the impressions on the heart that are not God-centered or encouraging? How do we do that? And that's probably a really key word you've used there is to try to limit that and you put some margins on. Now, there's some relationships we have quite a bit of say over. If we can choose to have time or not have time with certain people. Now, sometimes they're the people we work with every day or people we live with that are more difficult to work with. But, you know, part of that goes back to the hymn we sang, right? What a friend, all our sins and griefs to bear. And sharing that with him and praying and recognizing there's a sense of... you know, the negative impact that others can have on us, they also try to have on the Lord Jesus, right? I mean, we can read a lot about the fans of Jesus in the Gospels, but there's always the antagonists. The Sadducees, the Pharisees were constantly there, just pecking away at him, just pounding away, and just trying to undermine him. And he just refused to let that impact his heart. But he knew it. God rewards our persistence. Hang in there. God, how would you, in every situation, God, how would you have me to respond? Now, in going back to our friendly and unfriendly store, my wife likes the unfriendly one because she's trying to win them over. It's not going well. So that's a response. Yeah. Well, let's just look at a series. In the back of your sheet there, you have this little circle here. And we have the king has given to us a whole series of commands. One another commands. The very focal point, of course, the umbrella command is to love one another. That's what we read in 1 Thessalonians 4. I know you're loving each other, excel still more. That's a kind of an umbrella command. But you know that love, like, well, what does it look like? And I think the other one of the commands kind of flesh it out. And so here's some listings that are there. Romans 14:9 says, edify one another. Build up one another. It's like God has put a hammer in our hands. And with a hammer, you can just destroy stuff pretty easily. But with a hammer, you can build. You can put things together, nail things together. And we've been given a spiritual hammer to possibly build up one another. That word edify actually means to build up. It's used in the scriptures of building a building. Here it's building of a heart. What may I do to build that person up? And as we say things and do things that will be building up of another person, it does something for us as well. As we think about, and kind of a parallel to that, the Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, it says to encourage one another. Edify is to give instruction to, perhaps to teach, to encourage in that way. But encourage is more of an emotive word, more of an emotional word. Literally means to come alongside of. Because the Greek word for encourage is come alongside of, literally translated. Come alongside of. Now, you know, you can only come alongside of so many people in your life, right? And there's only so many people come alongside of you. But we can come alongside of some people and be an encouragement to walk with them, talk with them, be present with them. It's a powerful thing. The whole ministry of presence. Now think about that. How significant is it to be aware of God's presence? Well, it's immeasurably significant. And we represent God to one another. It's God uses that. Many years ago, we had a friend of ours. His name was Hank, and Hank was dying of cancer, and he was always going to beat it for a long time. One day, I stopped in his hospital room, and Hank was really, really hurting. And his words, when I walked in, he says, he says, just when you think that God has forgotten you, you turn around, and there he is. Now, he wasn't hallucinating and thinking I was God, but he knew I represented God to him. The presence, just simply being there. By the way, we had a wonderful talk. He said, I'm going to die. Yep. And he talked about all kinds of stuff, about his funeral and his soon widow to be. And it was just sounds kind of morbid, but it was a beautiful time. But presence is the idea. Simply being present. I had no cure for his disease. I had no, couldn't fix anything. Just presence. And so we think about God being relational. God being present, God being personal. He said, well, as we are with people in this fashion, being present, it is an expression of the heart, but also it does something to us in the entire process. Another one here is we have to accept one another. It is like there's a circle, you know, and you're inside this circle, and there's someone out here, and it's drawing a bigger circle to include them, to accept one another. It's powerful, isn't it? I mean, if you have lived, and I hope you have, you know, in a context where you felt accepted, loved, appreciated, thank the Lord. Many have felt alienated, lonely, and to be accepted, to be welcomed, if you will, into a realm of fellowship. That's really important. And as we are obeying the King, what he's told us to do, he says, love one another, edify, encourage, accept one another. He goes on to say things like to greet one another. We've talked about that already. This very special, sincere welcoming to one another. 13:15 of 1 Corinthians says, or 2 Corinthians says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Been a lot of things written about this, how we relate to this in our culture, and some just say, just greet each other sincerely. But you can chew on that if you like. Serve one another. Okay. In Galatians chapter 5, he says, you know, you have freedom in the Spirit, but don't use the freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but in the Spirit, by the Spirit, serve one another. And Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 10 that his great people serve others. God's great people serve others. Well, if you think about in the world system, by world standards, how many great people can there be? I mean, if greatness is based on wealth or power or position, you know, it's a pretty limited place. But in God's kingdom, every single person can be great in God's economy because every single person can serve in some way. It doesn't talk about how big the service is or how small it may be. It's that Spirit. What may I do for you? Of serving one another. Oh, wow. And as we serve, we're representing Christ to each other, but also in the serving, there's an intensifying in the heart that, oh, this is good. There's joy in that whole process. The heart is being impressed through the expression of service. It's that symbiotic relationship as they feed each other. We have to forgive. This is kind of like the oil of fellowship, if you will, okay? Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's a supernatural forgiveness. Really, all of these require supernatural Holy Spirit enablement. But forgiveness, critical. The enemy of our soul would have us to be resentful, to hold grudges. Our King says, forgive one another, just like I forgave you. That's a supernatural forgiveness, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's the oil of fellowship to forgive. Think about that. If we think about, think about the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, there's a connection there. And as we express forgiveness, there's a sense that God's forgiveness of us is deeply impressed upon the heart. And the more I realize how much God's forgiven me, the more that's expressed in forgiving other people. It's a positive cycle. Forgive one another. It says to pray for one another in James 5, verse 16. Got the reference there, pray for one another. And that's critically important for us as we intercede before God, each other's behalf. 1 Peter 4:9 says, be hospitable to one another. The word hospitable, by the way, is very interesting in the Greek language. It literally means, philo is the first part of it, philoxenos. It means love the strangers. Now, some are stranger than others, right? Those you don't know, love the strangers. Huh? Welcome people into your sphere of life. Welcome. It is eating together. That's an important hospitality expression. But there's many other expressions of hospitality. Simply welcoming people into our sphere of life. And Galatians 6:2. Galatians 6:2 is interesting. Well, chapter 6, first six verses. Later on in Galatians 6, it says, carry your own load. Then here it says, bear your own burden or share your burdens. And there's two words that are used there. When it talks about, carry your own load, your own burden, that refers to the normal weight that you put onto a ship. You know, that weight that the ship can hold so many tonnage, and that's what you have. And there are certain things that we have a capacity to hold. That's a normal burden. But the sharing your burdens in verse 2 of Galatians 6 is the overload burden. Things get just too heavy to carry alone. And then part of this, to be alongside, to share that burden with someone else, or let them share your burden with you. These all, as we obey these, one of the commands, it works to form and transform our hearts. The expression feeds the being. The doing feeds the being. Summation looks like this. Loving or knowing and obeying the one of the commands is transforming and life-changing. Probably no one can really be convinced objectively that's true. Try it. Because in the doing, in the obedience, is where the transformation happens. It may seem counterintuitive that there's joy in serving one another. I'm sure that some of you can identify with myself in this, that there's times get very turned inward. What about me? Those aren't the best of times. When there's an external focus, what about you? What may I do for you? It changes the attitudes of the heart. Spiritual transformation. It's about working with our thinking. It's working with our decision-making processes. It's learning to manage our emotions. But realize that the heart is expressed through social relationships, and those relationships are used by God to impress our hearts and to bring about change. Keep in mind, obedience to these commandments requires supernatural empowerment. Because this is not natural. This is something God gives to us. These are God's kingdom ways. And as we obey them, and we rely upon the Holy Spirit. You know, every one of these, we go back and look at that, to edify one another or to encourage someone. Why do you encourage someone? Well, there's so many ways, right? But if I can come before the Lord and say, Lord, I have a neighbor, I have a friend, I have someone I want to encourage, lead, guide, and direct me to do, say what it will be an encouragement to them. He'll do that. He'll give us the insight of what to do and the power to do it, to edify, to encourage whatever other one another may be present. That's simple. This is so simple, but so transforming. What's coming out of our hearts? Hopefully we're giving those things that encourage and build up and express acceptance and express love in a very powerful and wonderful, a tangible way, and that we're going to receive that into our own hearts. And our Father, we're thankful for your guidance and your direction for our lives. We know, Lord, that you came and you taught us about the heart being the centerpiece. Your word teaches us to watch over our hearts with all diligence, because it is the wellspring of life. As we think about our hearts today, we're just hopefully realizing by your Spirit that we express our heart in our relationships, and also our hearts encouraged and blessed by those.
and sometimes build defenses for places where we're being negatively impacted. But God, we pray, enable us right now to integrate these ideas into our heart and to let them shape what we do to, with, and for one another. Thank you for making us be a part of a spiritual body in which you're working. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.